Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the happier Wednesday hump day. I guess it's both. Happy hour. And I'm welcoming back a fine guest and a co-devil for the hour, Brian Kelly. Fancy Brian. How you doing, Brian Kelly?
I am well, and I'm very happy that you informed me of the day because I did not know that going into the show.
It is Wednesday, I believe, hump day.
Yeah. I've heard several confirmations today that it was Wednesday, but was not sure until this moment.
Well, you know, if you saw the New Marquette University Law School polling, had our buddy Charles Franklin on just a minute ago, I bet you, according to the polling, there are Republicans in the state of Wisconsin that would not take your word for the fact that it is Wednesday because it's rigged. The calendars are rigged. Fancy. I shouldn't be shocked, man, but the Marquette polling, setting aside the whole race, the horse race stuff, the Republicans still believed that 2020 was rigged.
Okay.
But like a big percentage of them, like two-thirds, Brian, two-thirds of Republicans don't believe reality and the earth is probably flat.
That's one of those things.
And it's not Wednesday, it's Tuesday, I tell you.
Exactly. Those are things that are hard to deal with. You can't rationally talk to somebody about that because they'll just change the subject and tell you Biden sucks.
You know, I had a philosophy professor in college, and I hated going to philosophy, and, you know, philosophy's okay, but she made it extremely painful for yours truly. And I was a dumbass freshman and, you know, snarky and smartass. And at some point, you know, probably about 2 weeks into the course, I get in an argument, you know, because there's never been a dumbass freshman that ever argued with the philosophy professor before. They've never argued before.
No.
But I just get in this convoluted argument. Like, we have to come to some basic agreement in life that what is blue in my world, like if the sky is blue, it also, we have to come to some agreement that the sky is blue in your world. And, you know, of course, that was not the proposition of philosophy. You argue all sorts of different theoreticals, crazy points of view. We're all Venetian lizards as far as Dr. Shurowitz was concerned. That was one of the reading assignments I didn't quite understand. But I feel like every Republican that answered, you know, rigged election, they're all the Dr. Shurowitzes of the world. Not in a good way. Not me. I went and got my PhD and, you know, I like to argue philosophical high-minded thoughts, but because they don't agree on the color blue and what day of the week it is and whether or not the earth is round or flat. At least that's my opinion of you. Not you, Brian, but, you know, the flat earth or sorts.
I mean, it's really hard to define what reality is because for most of people, the reality is the perception that you tell yourself. I mean, again, I don't want to get into a debate about the monarchy, but look at the queen. She really doesn't have much power. She doesn't really have much anything. She's just a figurehead that kind of owns a bunch of land. And we can go into the reasons why she has that land and
colonialism. But
Okay. But the point is that at the end of the day, you can tell everybody that and they go and you go, why do you care so much? Or why are you watching this? Well, it's a lot of pomp and circumstance. It's really fun to watch. It's really like a lot of pageantry. And really, it's just a bunch of BS. But again, it's the perception of something amazing that people are falling for. And this is what this is. I mean, if I heard other people correctly, they're saying that this moving of the needle of people with Barnes and with Johnson, and the moving of the needle with Evers and Michaels getting really close is because of smear campaigns from the Republicans, because that's where the margins moved. But does that mean that somebody's watching these commercials in between and going, yes, evil, yes, bad? Because it's just they're commercials arguing with each other. And does that really influence people? And if so, it's because the perception is the reality now.
Well, of course they do. And commercials, they wouldn't run all these negative ads if they didn't have impact on the electorate. Charles Franklin talked about back in August, Brian. 41% of the electorate, at least those polled by Charles Franklin's outfit, didn't have a strong opinion of Mandela, didn't know enough about the man to offer an opinion. And as Charles pointed out, you know, Democrats, they don't ever challenge each other in the primary. I don't know why they even bother running. If they're not going to challenge the weaknesses or accentuate their strengths in contrast to their opponent's weaknesses, but instead they always just say, well, you know, I completely agree with all the other opponents, and that's why I either dropped out of the race and endorsed him or finished fifth.
I would have loved to have seen the results of an actual primary where everybody ran to the end. I would love, because it helps move the narrative too, because Mandela goes and says, oh my goodness, Sarah got a huge chunk of people. Maybe I should listen to what she says because people have a little bit more that way. That's how it influences, the policies going forward.
Well, it left Mandela relatively unchallenged in the primary. And there was clearly strength to Mandela Barnes's U.S. senatorial campaign, or he wouldn't have been in a position to kind of run away in the polls and hide to the point where the Alex Lazarys of the world and the Tom Nelsons, well, Tom was out of cash, but Godlewski wasn't out of cash, and Lazary certainly wasn't out of cash. And what did they all decide? Well, I don't want to bare knuckle my way against Mandela Barnes. I don't want to say any of the difficult or uncomfortable things about my opponent. Let's wait and let him get bushwhacked in the general election. Because I actually fancy Brian. I'm a believer. We've all got flaws, man.
Of course.
We've all got flaws, right? And those that are narcissistic enough to be radio hosts or, let's say, political candidates, they're still full of flaws, but they often look past their own flaws. They don't want to be held up to a mirror, Brian. You know, at least me, I just wink at the mirror and walk by quick because I just assume I'm sexy. Why slow down and linger on that thought? You know, that's my little reality. But here's the only point I would have. The Democrats, I think, would be far better to expose each other's weaknesses, have these conversations early in the primary process. And if these are truly problematic issues, you know, if someone gives a damn whether or not Mandela Barnes paid his property taxes on time, sounds like a working class issue. I know there's been years I didn't pay mine on time. I don't hold it against the guy. But if I was going to hold it against the guy, well, you know, let's sort that out in the primary. Let's make a big deal out of it in the primary. If the broader electorate's going to have an issue with Mandela Barnes being a little too liberal, let's say, that's been he's too woke. That's what effectively the Johnson campaign ads are saying, right? Fancy that. He's a black man. Be scared.
Well, also, they have that weird faded out thing that they do with all the evil people that, you know, they all live in some faded out TV world land with, you know, oh, my goodness, he's got a mean face and it's going in slow motion as if it's evil.
Do you notice the effective polling of Ron Johnson's barely moved one iota? Because people knew Ron, and to know Ron is to not especially like Ron. So it begs the question, how could it possibly be in the New Market polling Ron Johnson leads this otherwise very charismatic Democrat Mandela Barnes? It can't be about a couple of parking tickets or some property taxes, but those negative ads, obviously they're having some impact, Fancy.
It's what I call the Gary effect. I remember distinctly.
We know a few Garys, but
yeah,
tell people what that means.
Gary, caller, he's a conservative guy, he calls in, became a friend. We've been out to dinner. Nice dude. I asked him, I think on the air, hey, Would you go into business with Donald Trump? Oh, no, not in your life. Would you go to church with Donald Trump? No, not at all. Would you leave your daughter or wife alone with Donald Trump? No, not at all. But you'd vote for him? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Why? Because he's not a Democrat.
But it's, I think sometimes it goes beyond that because he hates all the same people I hate.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying specifically that Gary is driven by hate, although I'm watching you, Gary. But I'm saying you may be onto a point. There's no real clear logic. I know that a lot of people make these decisions sort of on the guttural level. And we choose our candidates because I'd like to have a beer with that guy. Well, I've had a beer with both those guys. Literally, I've had beers with Mandela.
Yeah.
And I've had beers with Ron Johnson. Mandela's a better company. I got to tell you, Ron's only got like three stories. And B, Ron tried to hand off false fraudulent electors. Ron Johnson would have been just fine trying to exercise a coup d'etat against the federal government. And you can say that Mandela's, you know, defund the police, although that's not what he said. And you can say, well, Mandela's policies are bad on crime. But I mean, Ron Johnson was complicit. Ron Johnson's got, you know, the if not blood on his hands, the ink of the fraudulent Trump electors on his hands. He literally took them in his possession and wanted to deliver them to the vice president and then claims, well, you know, but you make such a big deal. I was only a criminal for just a couple seconds there.
Yeah, but then you circle back to the 66% of people who think the 2020 election was stolen or rigged somehow. And then you kind of think about, oh, well, you know, maybe Ron Johnson was doing the right thing by trying to help us because we think the election was stolen. Like, you know, like is that where they're coming from? Is that the logic here? Is that like, I don't really care about the Ron Johnson fraudulent electors thing because, well, I kind of don't think that.
Well, what's Ron Johnson's attitude about that goofy bastard down in got the fraudulent electors ballots? The
guy who
character.
Actually committed, he committed actual
and,
fraud.
And yeah. Ron Johnson held him up as some shining example. A guy that purposefully went out there and committed election fraud. And above and beyond that, those are the petty misdemeanors. The big crimes? I mean, the guy pretended to be Robin Foss and got a guy's ballot. Well, those are the bigger crimes. I'm glad to see that the attorney general, the incumbent, Josh Call, well, the DOJ found, you know, the courage to charge on that. But those other things, the fraudulent electors, wouldn't they lead right through Senator Johnson's office, right to the criminal courts? Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Fancy Brian, my co-devil for this happier, happy hour.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom, European vacationing or something. Got Fancy Brian Kelly as my co-devil for the entire hour. Haven't had a lot of opportunity to talk politics with you, big guy. So looking forward to it. And you are a fair audience. You could play a part. You could ask Fancy Brian questions or me. Or even Evan, he's lightly screening the calls here at the world headquarters at 844-967-2789. But I want to get a little more reaction. Fancy, I don't think we've talked about politics since Tim Michaels won the primary, man. Tim Michaels. Last time I saw Tim Michaels, he was out there looking really bad on the gubernatorial debate stage. I mean, that guy was terrible in those debates, Fancy.
Luckily, he only has one to deal with going forward. So,
well, I'm not saying Tony Evers is going to go rock the world on the debate format, but Michaels, look, I mean, he looked like such a stuffed suit. He was so clearly just trying to run out the clock and trying not to babble himself so incoherently that you, the voter, would notice. But it was pretty bad, to my opinion, at least. But Michaels is right there, neck and neck with Tony Evers. And we look at the polling and we see people like 10% of Wisconsinites support the position now held by gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels, basically no abortion, no exception for rape or incest. 10% of Wisconsinites support that position. And, you know, right now, he's within the margin of error of Tony Evers. How could this, how could it be that close, Fancy?
I don't know. I mean, the only people that seem to really gain traction in the Republican Party lately are outsiders, namely people from Connecticut, like Tim Michaels, who lives half his year in Connecticut.
I didn't
can't
say
wait for a guy from Florida to come in and tell you that a guy from Connecticut should go and be your governor in a week or so. That'll be fantastic.
Which guy from Florida? Because Donald Trump came up to Waukesha during the primary. He's a Florida man.
Two separate dudes from Florida.
And Governor Ron DeSantis coming up this Sunday, September 18th. They're going to be at the Radisson in Green Bay. But the semi-fascist, the wannabe, Ron DeSantis, he's the up-and-comer. He's the rising star of the Republican Party. Well, Tim Michaels has to be sort of torn between two lovers, man. How can you accept the endorsement of both Donald Trump, who, of course, is running for president, and here in the state of Wisconsin, Fancy, newest polling, Donald Trump's approval, disapproval, he's minus 30 in the state of Wisconsin. Donald Trump is. Joe Biden, this highly unpopular president, according to, you know, CJ and others, he's minus 15, but Trump's minus freaking 30. Who wants the endorsement of a guy who's minus 30 and then back it up with a Ron DeSantis telethon?
Again, if you think about it for a little bit, just go, why would I want a dude from Connecticut being endorsed by two dudes from Florida? What does that matter to Wisconsin?
It would be so disruptive for the poor Michaels children if he actually won that race. Although, you know, would he pull them out of Connecticut schools and move them to Wisconsin, you know, to keep up with the ruse, or would he move them directly to D.C.?
I don't know, but if he would follow DeSantis' advice, he would do this.
Oh, wait.
The most important thing you can do is to take responsibility.
See? That's what Ron DeSantis would advocate for. That's his quote. That's my favorite DeSantis quote. I just wanted to pull that out for you guys. But, Ron DeSantis would say take responsibility.
Well, Donald Trump said that.
No.
And Tim Michaels, of course, is not running for federal office. How could I confuse this race with his 2004 race when he was 45% Timmy and lost to Russ Feingold in a senatorial race? Then he could have moved the family directly from Connecticut to D.C. Now, you know, the poor Michaels kids, if he wins, are going to have to get uprooted, moved halfway across the country right here to Wisconsin.
As a kid who did that myself, I would suggest just bow out, just lose and just let Tony Evers win, and then it'll be fine. You let the kids finish out their school there.
Fancy Brian, I hate to do it to you, but we've got CJ in the queue. 844-967-2789. You made it to the top of the list, CJ. Say hi to Fancy Brian.
Hey, Brian.
What's happening?
Thanks for taking my call, Crudy. You know, I was reading a little bit about Mandela Barnes, and, you know,
what was the source of your reading? Was it the MacGyver Institute or some credible source, CJ?
Actually, it was the Washington Free Beacon. And, you know, the amazing thing is that they say he's trying to rebrand himself as not a anti-police, defund the policer.
He's trying to rebrand as less progressive, CJ. I read similar articles.
He actually wrote the bill to end cash bail. Isn't that amazing?
You know, many Republicans agree with that position until the whole Kenosha thing happened and you guys wanted to blame all of it on Mandela Barnes and Tony Evers. But, CJ, there are a lot of Republicans. Grover Norquist, Donald Trump signed federal prison reform bills, dude. Donald Trump remember the Kardashians? They hit up Donald Trump trying to get people out of prison. You know, CJ, some Republicans are compassionate. Even your former president actually was for letting people out of prison and not holding people unnecessarily on cash bail.
Rudy, The guy that ran over all those people, he wanted no cash bail, Crudy. So the mere fact that, like the Marquette pollster that you have on, said as people find out about this guy, no way, no way, no way, no way, because he's buried.
Four times. That's really important.
Yeah, no way is what CJ just said true.
Yeah.
Mandela Barnes did not express any desire for the perpetrator at the Waukesha holiday parade who killed multiple people. He did not say
they're using footage of that to campaign
cash bail. Of course they are.
They're using footage of that to campaign on. How do you feel about that, CJ? Does that not turn your stomach? Because if it doesn't, I don't even really want to hear from you.
My buddy Don Brown, the former Waukesha alder, he takes quite a bit of umbrage. And that's not even an outside ad. That's a Ron Johnson ad. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. The happier hour rolls on.
Michael Jackson didn't come over to my house. He's a bad child. But his sister did.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're the good, the bad, and the ugly. I guess that makes you the ugly, Evan.
Well, I never.
I'm giving Fancy Brian the good. I'm the bad.
No, I'll take it.
Well, CJ is actually the ugly, probably. He's still listening.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Got Fancy Brian co-deviling for me. You could be a part. Join us, 844-967-2789. And Fancy Brian, despite the fact that I know they can hear us in Chicago on WCPT 820 AM, and I know we got KTNF 950 AM listeners, but I got a cheese head over my shoulder right over there, man. I've always been Homer. I talk trash through the, you know, the lead up to the first game against the Vikings, Fancy Brian. I heard other fine civic media hosts like Matt McNeil talking trash back after the Vikings handed us our asses in week one. You know, and I find myself, and I can crap on my quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, but I'd prefer if you, the fans of other teams, didn't do that. But Fancy Brian, some new news out about the former quarterback, Brett Favre. And I, as a young...
Brett Favre.
I met Brett Favre when he was a much younger man and was the star quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. And I've told the story, Fancy Brad. I'm sure you've heard this story. I shared a bag of M&Ms, the big bag, the shareable bag. He had tossed 5 touchdown passes against the Chicago Bears. I believe it was something like his 26th birthday. And I was a reporter. I got stuck in front of his locker, and he's sitting there in a towel. He's stuck with like 50 reporters and Crudy, you know, the good one. And his wife gave him a bag of M&Ms, and I looked hungry, so we shared a bag of M&Ms, and that's my Brett Favre story, at least one of them.
So he shared you a bag of peanuts next to his nuts. That's very nice.
Something like that. You know, it wasn't a direct view. I didn't look up the towel or anything like that, but I was sitting at the man's knee.
Don't worry. If he wants you to see it, he will let you see it.
Well, you know, I'm not a sideline reporter or good-looking like that girl, you know, that did the Jets games. But the author of the biography of Brett Favre has something new to say. Effectively, don't read the book. He's a bad guy. Do you see the latest about Brett Favre? Brett Favre is up to his eyeballs in some text messages, and the former governor of, what, the state of Mississippi was involved, and a lady who's been charged with multiple felonies was the one that was the telephone, the in-between, between the governor's office and Brett Favre, who apparently was helping to commit, it was like welfare fraud. They were routing welfare money to the University of Southern Mississippi through Brett Favre to build a volleyball facility because Brett Favre's daughter was on the volleyball team at Ole Miss.
That's bad. That's absolutely bad. But my former show host Darrell Ingram, NFL player,
caught a couple touchdowns for Brett Favre.
But also the guy has you know, an MBA. He's a smart guy and, yeah. and has planned for guys like Daryl. They plan for, you know, lives after football, things like that. Brett Favre wasn't one of those guys that they were like, let's worry about his life after football. They just assumed, oh, he's making millions of dollars. He'll be fine for the rest of his life. I don't think anybody really checked in on him very much after he retired, because this guy kind of was, I feel like he just kind of went like,
how much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
And they were like, yeah, let's do that. And also, can you sign this about this welfare thing? Don't worry about it. It's for the kids.
Well, let me read you a little of the reporting. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, my source, J.R. Radcliffe, the reporter, Jeff Perlman, who published a comprehensive biography of Green Bay Packers icon Brett Favre, had some scathing words for Favre on social media Tuesday, telling fans outright, don't read the book. Perlman, who has written 9 sports-themed New York Times bestsellers, penned Gunslinger, The Remarkable, Improbable, Iconic Life of Brett Favre in 2016. And his comments came in the immediate aftermath of the release of text messages. They got receipts, Brian, between Favre and disgraced Mississippi nonprofit executive Nancy New. Now, New has pled guilty to 13 felony counts related to the very scandal she was talking to Brett Favre about, in which $77 million in funds from the federal temporary assistance for needy families, that's welfare, folks, were improperly siphoned elsewhere in Mississippi, apparently to fund a volleyball facility at Southern Miss. And Brett Favre was part of the scheme. A little bit more. The 2017 exchange seemed to imply that Favre was aware funds were being improperly routed to his pursuits, including fundraising for a volleyball facility at his alma mater of Southern Miss, where his daughter played volleyball. Favre expressed relief that then-Governor Phil Bryant was on board for the deal. So they've included actual text messages from August 3rd of 2017. Brett Favre text, if you were to pay me, is there any way the media can find out where it came from and how much?
Oh,
no. Here is Nancy New, the now guilty. She pled guilty to 13 felonies for this scheme. No, we never had that information publicized. Understand you being uneasy about that, though. Let's see what happens on Monday with the conversation with some of the folks at Southern. Maybe it will click with them. Hopefully, Brett Favre texts back like 2 hours later. Okay, thanks. Then one more from Nancy New. Wow, we just got off the phone with Phil Bryant. Understand, that is the governor of Mississippi at the time. He's on board with us. We'll get this done. Awesome, texted back Brett Favre. Favre, I needed to hear that for sure-sies. Favre has already been questioned by the FBI and repaid $1.1 million that was reportedly given to him for motivational speeches. He did not give. He got paid $1.1 million from welfare to give speeches that he did not give. The money he received was part of approximately $77 million in funds from the temporary assistance for needy families. Allegedly, $5 million went to the volleyball stadium project. Favre still owes $228,000 in interest and could be taken to court by the state of Mississippi if he does not pay in full. In Mississippi Today's comprehensive report also unearthed text messages from Bryant that show further cooperation from Favre. Now, Perlman, again, this is the biography, the guy that wrote the book about Favre. Perlman called Favre's actions monstrous and included a graphic of Favre's jersey burning in a trash can with a string of tweets telling people to not read his biography. On the day of extended Favre revelations, I want to share something. I wrote a biography of that man that was largely glowing, Perlman wrote on Twitter. Football heroics, overcoming obstacles, practical joker, etc. Yes, it included his grossness, addictions, treatment of women, but it was fairly positive. In looking at it now, and I'm being brutally honest, I'd advise people not to read it. He's a bad guy. He doesn't deserve the icon treatment. He doesn't deserve acclaim, image rehabilitation, warm stories of the grid glory. His treatment of Jennifer Steger was inexcusable. That was the Jets reporter, right, Fancy Brian?
Yep. She actually does She goes around the country right now and gives speeches to people who are in a similar situation or would like to avoid that for people going into journalism.
A little bit more from Perlman. And now, talking about Brett Favre, taking money that was designated to help poor people in his state and funneling it to build, checks his notes, an Epping volleyball arena. It's so grotesque, so monstrous. I don't know how someone like that looks in the mirror. I just don't. So sincerely, don't buy the book. Don't take it out from the library. Leave it. There are so many better people worthy of your reading hours, of your time. I prefer crumbs like Brett Favre shuffle off into the abyss, shamed by greed and selfishness. Perlman's other books include Showtime, Magic, Kareem, Riley, and the Los Angeles Lakers dynasty of the 1980s. You know, the one they based the series Winning Time on, the HBO series. I've been watching that. Don't read the book.
Look, I don't like the throwing a volleyball arena under there because, I mean, there could be great uses for the volleyball arena. It may even be needed to have happen, but the way it got funded, absolutely not. You got to –
Well, one thinks Favre, in addition to seeing for the betterment of the volleyball program at Ole Miss, was also personally enriching to the tune of at least $1.1 million that he's already repaid because he didn't actually deliver any speeches. That's quite a gig,
man. Like, go call like an old, like rich Packer fan and just say, hey, look, man, I want to go put my name on the side of a volleyball building. Will you go and back me? And then, by the way, I also suck and need money. Like, go do that. Like, just.
It's always worked for Ron Johnson's campaign. Go check with Dick Uihlein or maybe the widow Hendricks.
At least that's semi-legal, right?
Sure.
I just.
He's not running for anything, is he? He's not running for president, is he? Brett Favre's not running, is he?
You know, every time I text my dealer, I always say, should you just make sure that nobody sees this? Is this probably a bad thing for me to text this to you? Should I not text these things to you about this exact thing?
Bring me the drugs, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah, like, this is like.
Will anyone find out that we're committing crimes here?
I got to go back to Paul Manafort really got caught because he didn't know how to change a PDF document to a Word document. So he had to email it to Rick Gates, and that's exactly how he got caught. But again, Paul Manafort, you'd expect to be a little bit more well-versed in, I don't know, espionage than Brett Favre is. But how do you – clearly the guy's trying to cover it up. And Brett Favre is the biggest candidate to go and just pretend to not know anything, and that's the one thing, obviously, you know something.
A few too many, you know, head first dives into the end zone for Brett, perhaps.
Yeah, he's a little bit.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
He's a little Uncle Rico.
Joe from Madison. Welcome back, Joe. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm entering the land of facts because I think that's always a good place to be. You know, things work a little better if you enter the land of facts. So in response to Gary and his. Also profound comments on Mandela Barnes and
CJ.
It was CJ.
Gary from Sussex with CJ from wherever CJ lives.
My apologies. They kind of easily blur together in terms of the easily conned. You know, the Trump supporters who now have a guy with, what are we up to, 5 grand juries investigating his activities. You know, they believing Ron Johnson who have him hack your Medicare, have him hack your Social Security. He's on board that he's more than willing to do that. But I would just throw into the mix here just a couple of facts about Mandela Barnes and defunding the police. He was a big proponent of the American Rescue Plan, which put forth over $650 million for policing projects. That would be something that Ron Johnson did not support. From that came over $50 million that the Evers and Mandela Barnes administration were able to garner from the American Rescue Plan to fund police and sheriff offices within the state of Wisconsin. What did Ron Johnson bring home? Where's the evidence that
tax cuts for the Uihlein's and the widow Hendricks and for himself, of course, Joe.
Exactly. Which, you know, I'm just offering some hardcore fact that Mr. Barnes has been in a position and has supported funding the police through the American Rescue Plan. Again, $50 million for police and sheriff here in the state of Wisconsin. Where's Ron? Where's his money? Where's his funding of the police in Wisconsin?
Hey,
just
Joe, specifically on these facts and specifically on the Ron Johnson thing, I'd like to say Joe Biden's doing a horrible job.
And I think, you know, it's the blending of the black guy from Waukesha Criminal who ran over people with another black guy. And where's the defunding of the police and how much of it is just out and out racism? Which, come on, people, that's an ugly, ugly thing to submit to. And I think, Jesus, come on, buddy, that's not where you want to go. The fact, American Rescue Plan had $650 million for police programs within the United States. And Mandela Barnes and Evers brought the bacon home to Wisconsin, $50 million worth. Okay, that's my little bit for today.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for listening. I was waiting for Willie Horton in those newest Ron Johnson ads. Where's Willie? Come back. Where's Dominic? He's in Europe. Fancy Brian sitting in. More Devils.
You are the worst human being I have ever met.
Oh, they drove a dump truck full of money up to my house. I'm not made of stone.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition. I got Fancy Brian Kelly co-deviling right till the end of this show.
Just you made a time machine?
What's that?
A DeLorean?
who threw us way back to the future, man? I guess that was E-Man, E-Bone here in the world headquarters, lightly screening the calls. You can be a part.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY.
I'm a little verklempt. Talk amongst yourselves, audience.
It's okay.
Let's start with Andy from Beaver Dam. Andy, how you been, brother?
Not too bad since yesterday. Let's go for a little Packers history. Remember back in the days of, you guys are football fans, Lynn Infante and Magic?
Oh, sure.
And in like 90 or 91.
Oh, I remember. Then, 89, yeah, actually. Course, the magical year, I believe, was the 89 season. I'd have to verify that.
I think
that.
It was 89. Right. So anyway, okay, then here comes Mike Holmgren, and he brings in Brett Favre from where, Atlanta for a little bit or something?
He was the first pick of the second round. He was languishing on the bench at Atlanta. Actually, I think Ron Wolf brought him in, right? Ron Wolf had come over from Atlanta
and
knew about Favre.
Right. But anyway, the reason I'm pointing that out is I've been a Brett Favre fan for 30 years, you know.
Sure. You're old. I'll give you at least 30.
All right. I'm, you know, I'm got you guys by 25 years. But anyway, then I heard about a year ago or so, I had heard that Brett was supporting Donald Trump. And so I thought, what? He's, you know, going to, of course, you know, he's from Kill, Mississippi. Come on, you know. But I was ready to forgive him. And then in the last couple of weeks, the story about this volleyball thing and all that comes out. And here Brett's on the take, you know. And, you know, man, oh, man, I just, it's really sad, you know, that he, you know, I mean, he's been caught with the goods and that he's, you know, really just, I don't know, his like the author of his book said, he's, you know, he's just not, you know, he isn't what he was purported to be, you know.
Well, and he threw a hell of a lot of touchdowns, and the day his daddy died and he had that Monday night game, that was historic, dude. Everyone played great that night.
Yes, I remember that. Yep,
and
yep.
I mean, the guy could get hit by a Mack truck and get up and continue playing the game. Now, that was drug fueled often. I mean, he was on tons of painkillers. When the guy was in college, Brett Favre had a car accident, had a big portion of his colon removed, and started that Saturday. I mean, I don't think a tougher man ever, well, I'm not going to say that, but my opinion is that Brett Favre was one of the toughest guys ever, but you know, too many shots to the head start affecting the man, Andy. And apparently it made him a little corrupt. That or his association with Trump did.
One of the two, but that's a sad story. But, yeah, he was super tough, played even with injuries. How many concussions could he have had? You know, I don't know. But it's sad to hear all this derogatory stuff about him and, you know, tarnishing his.
He is not a role model, Andy.
So Andy, you bring up the Magic Man. In my family that I'm marrying into, very Polish, my mother-in-law's cousin, Edu, switched over to the Vikings simply because Brett Favre replaced the Magic
Murkowski.
Man because they didn't give that Polish boy a chance and became forevermore. The entire side of that family are all Vikings fans. And I used to think, wow, geez, that's interesting. It turns out they were right. Good for them. Go Edu.
Well, I have one more very quick story.
Make it
you
quick.
Remember that guy, George? You remember the guy that was from Indianapolis and he went to Illinois and whatever?
Jeff
and
George. Yes, I recall Jeff George.
And then I met George in Florida one time. His mother, his grandmother had a place where my mother had. And you remember when Malkowski said, well, if that kid's worth that amount of money, I ought to be worth, you know, then they had a, you know, they gave him a bunch of money. And I remember at County Stadium, they were playing against the Colts when Jeff George was the quarterback. And the Packers barely rolled by him. You know, it was like the score was less than, you know, 6 points or 3 points, you know. So, I don't know. Lots of stories. But anyway, that's
whenever I hear about Jeff George, I always think about Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's my modern-day comparison.
Great story, Andy. Great story. We're going to get to one more caller. I will tell you, the day I graduated college, the Packers were playing the Atlanta Falcons in the regular season finale, and Jeff George was the quarterback, and that was the day that Brett Favre dived across the goal line with 4 seconds left. I saw that final drive at a local sports bar in La Crosse. I ran out of graduation. You know, they don't really give you your diploma. Didn't take any photographs. Didn't stop and glad hand the chancellor. See ya, Judith. I got to go to the bar. Watch the final drive. One of the greatest moments ever. Brett Favre, that dive across into the end zone. And by winning that game, the Packers qualified for the wild card. And I got to go to Lambeau the following week as a sideline reporter and cover that game. And they smoked them. Second time through, Packers crushed them. I think Edgar Bennett set a postseason rushing record. He ran with renewed resolve had to do the package for the news that night. I think that was some of the alliteration Crudy used. 844-967-2789. Pizza Box. Say hi to Fancy Brian Kelly.
Fancy Brian? Well, he's a movie star, you know.
I do. Star of stage and screen. And
not quite yet, man, but we'll get there. I have a large head.
I'm still the superstar in my world, but hey, speaking of Poland, I'm Ron Johnson, and I approve this racist message. We need to pull one together that has Ron Johnson and Russia on 4th of July with the Ruskies there. Probably some of the guys that have turned up dead lately, right? I bet you met with some of those guys. Then we can have him supporting Rittenhouse and the Proud Boys and their, you know, massacre in Wisconsin. And then last but not least, have the Capitol there, and then just have Mandela Barnes say, I'm Mandela Barnes, and I don't approve of this at all, man.
You know, currently in the Marquette polling, Pizza Box, Mandela trailing Ron Johnson. Do you believe the polling?
No, I'm not surprised. Now, you know, I don't like polls, except for my relatives from Poland and stuff, because they can mislead people or make people think something else. But I'm not surprised a bit that this is coming down to the wire, because half of this country is cuckoo.
Appreciate your call, Pizza Box. Don't forget, tune in. Pizza Box Mike right here in Madison on Devil Radio, noon on Saturday outside the Pizza Box. Jake Edwards, one of our fine audience members, noted on Twitter in the Marquette University Law School polling, the crosstabs, 18 to 29-year-olds favor Ron Johnson 60 to 40. I think he oversampled young incels. What are you doing, Charles Franklin, our fine guest earlier? Thank you, Fancy Brand, for co-deviling Kristen Bryan, my fine co-devil, tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stick around. More shows. Civic Media.
I'm never going to financially recover from this.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!